And welcome back to the Press Play Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that thinks that Morgan Wallen makes music for 24-year-old men who date high schoolers. I'm your host, Ian.
You're not wrong. I'm Seth.
Isn't that pretty much any country music star nowadays? I'm Dasher.
Yeah, no, there's a couple that I like. But
name one.
I like Luke Combs.
Never heard of him. Anyway.
Okay. Well, that's just because you haven't heard of him doesn't mean that, you know, he's one of those people that makes music for nursing majors that used to bully people in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, today we are talking about, we don't have any nerd news, do we? I didn't see anything.
No.
Yeah, I'm
not
trying
that
to
I can recall.
Well, there's one, and it's kind of we're beating a dead horse at this point, but Marvel basically announced that they're scaling back to two movies a year and two TV shows a year, and I'm just like, y'all kind of have already been doing that. Like,
yeah,
y'all did that last year, if I recall. Y'all only had like one movie out maybe, and that was the Marvels.
Yeah, they're about 3, maybe 4 years too late on that train. So,
which, hey, I'm fine with it because I can't remember the last Marvel thing that I saw, and I'm just I'm over it. Not even gonna get upset this time. Like, hey, good for you guys. But we are talking about the newest Guy Ritchie film that is still in theaters, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, starring Henry Cavill, Alan Ritchson, and Cary Elwes, and that German dude from Inglourious Basterds.
He's been in a lot of things.
Yeah, he's one of those that guys.
Yeah, he was one of the villains in King Arthur. Yeah,
right. And Alex Pettifer, that's the guy, the Magic Mike dude that I was thinking of. I mentioned that this movie was at the time currently sitting on a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. That has since gone down now that more critics have seen it. And it is now sitting at a 71. It has a 93 audience score, but critics gave it a 71. I'm not going to say if that's right or wrong. We'll save that. Dasher, since you're the one that was so vocal about this, because normally we just wait, but you just couldn't wait. You're sitting in the theater, and you couldn't help but text us. Let's get your shitty opinion out of the way first.
Oh, I wasn't sitting in the theater. I was sitting in fucking traffic, and that whole thing was about you making me have to go out to the goddamn beach to watch this film.
Why didn't you go to Regal?
The fucking place it was playing.
That's not my fault.
They should blow up the Panama City Bridge and not let anybody over it ever again. That's the only thing I'm going to say about that.
Good Lord.
Anyway, it was a fun 2 hours. It wasn't nothing spectacular. It didn't suck. I enjoyed myself. It's not an original story, even though it's based off a true story. I mean, this format's been played over and over and over and over again, but it was a fun time.
They were like the original Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that Henry Cavill and his little band of misfits, Frogman, Apple, Hammer, also known as Anders, was going to be the main focal point of the movie, but they kind of wasn't. They kind of took a back seat to Mr. Heron and Marjorie Stewart, didn't they? They were on screen way more than anybody else was, and I was fine with that because she's easy on the eyes. And, you know, their chemistry worked. It was okay. No complaints here, really.
All right. Seth, what do you got?
Quintessential popcorn flick. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Very mustache twirly film, wasn't it?
It was. And it was genuinely funny. And when it needed to be too. And, I love this kind of tone. It's over the top in all the right ways, in my opinion. I thought all the actors were having a pretty goddamn good time too. And of course this story isn't original. We've seen this script in several films, but, sometimes when you take a formula, you have to, you know, if you take a tried and true formula, a familiar one, and you execute it well, and make just enough of a twist on it to make it your own, I'm fine with that. And you know, I don't regret the free ticket I used on it.
Yeah, me either. What ended up happening was I was going to go see it at a specific date, but ended up getting stuck in traffic at, because I was working the air show where that movie theater was. I couldn't get out of it. Like, I could not. The traffic was a nightmare. We weren't moving. And I just like, you know what? The movie theater's right there. Fuck it. I'll pull in and just go cool off in a theater with a blue icy, kill 2 hours. By the time I'm done, I'll just cruise on out of here. And I walked out of the theater with a smile on my face. I'm like, you know what? That was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. It was just a fun time. You know, I wasn't expecting high arts. I'm just like, I know what this movie is. It's a comedy action pew pew. Like that's all it is. What do you want? And yeah, it's based on a true story, but they took creative liberties. I liked that they did. Like when you see at the end that the characters that the real people these characters are based on look nothing.
No,
like their movie counterparts at all. I'm like, those are the kind of changes I'm okay with because it's more historical fiction, kind of almost.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everybody on screen was having a fucking blast, especially Henry Cavill and Alan Ridgeston, who were the standouts to me mainly because I recognized them the most. And Henry Cavill's just having a blast. He had all the good. He was the funniest. Because he was, like, he was given more freedom to be. Like, the our other characters, the lady and our black guy, whose name I forget.
Mr. Heron.
Yeah, they were, their situation was more serious. But when we cut back to the gang, it's like, all right, so we got, there's four of us and there's 60 men we have to kill. So that's 15 each. And a hammer, don't be greedy. We know you have a reputation. I'm just like, they're the type of people, and we see this in all types of Nazi films. They revel in killing Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they made it so fun.
Mm-hmm.
They really did. And it's so easy to like, because they are the greatest villain to have in a movie where they're just mowing them down and you feel no sorrow for them at all.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, you're like, they were people. No, fuck them. They're Nazis. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. This was a, you know, it was a quintessential Guy Ritchie film, you know, through and through. But like you said, I had a lot of fun. It wasn't high art, but it was enjoyable. I didn't mind the 2 hours spent.
No, you know, I'll probably own this film.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I knew I was probably going to like this movie the moment that Cary Elwes is briefing a recently unhandcuffed Henry Cavill.
And he just starts stealing shit.
He just starts taking shit. Yeah. I was like, okay, all right, I dig the tone. But then when they go to that, whatever it was, an encampment or a prison or whatever, to rescue their friend Apple. And Henry Cavill goes into a room with a bunch of Nazis and one of the Nazis is laughing. And then you just hear Henry Cavill start, ha, 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 right in their face, and it just blows them all away. I cracked the fuck up, and I was in from then on out.
No, I there was like maybe seven people in my theater. We're all having a good time. And because, you know, he has these lines. Like half of his lines are, you know, him being genuine and serious. The other half, he's just fucking joking. Like he's like Gestapo. How can you tell? Well, the badder they are, the better they dress. I have got to get me one of those coats. They end up killing one, and he just sees the dead Gestapo on the ground. He doesn't say anything. He's just like, huh. And then he walks out with it. But I knew what I was in for from the beginning, but when I knew I was going to love it was the scene where he starts stealing crap, and then he leaves with all those cigars, and he just stands outside. He offers one to the guards, and he's like, yeah, why not? And he goes, fuck no. But I love the opening scene because it set the tone so perfectly for what we was like, yes, the Nazis are these serious threats and they do not take them seriously because they have guns to their faces. Yeah. They got their hands up and they just start laughing. It's like, you're in trouble. No, you're in trouble. And then they just kill every one of them.
Yeah. They kill everybody on the boat. And then where it got me was when the Nazi destroyer was shooting at him and it was like, you know, oh, that's a little too far. Next time we'll be a little bit closer. And they're going back and shoots again. Getting a little bit closer. Should blow up any minute now.
They don't even care. Like they're just looking at that one's getting closer. Hey, when did you set that timer? Because it's getting close. Boom. Jolly good old sport.
Yeah. And You know, like I said, our cast, our his little band of misfits, you know, you got Frogman, who's the one that does the explosives. And what I appreciated about this was you didn't really need a backstory on these characters.
None.
But he expositioned their backstory, and I was completely okay with that because that's all we needed.
Well, there's always
told you who these, yeah.
When you have a movie like this, because at its core, what this is a heist film. And sure. When you have one of those, you always have the cliche, the lineup scene, where we're going to tell you what everybody's about, what their specialty is, and all that. And that's never my main problem with heist films. Because I like it. It's like, you're like, yeah, here's why he hates Nazis. Here's how he hates Nazis. Here's what happened to him. Like, yeah, they're all just down with it. And I don't care. It's like, this guy can, he's a surgeon with a Bowie knife and a bow and arrow. And he went from filleting wild game to killing Nazis. I'm like, fucking A. And that bow and arrows, when he had the bow and arrows, I was like, man, I haven't seen an archer look that cool since Arrow season
Nicholas.
One.
Well, sure.
The most recent time was Arrow season one. That Legolas came out in like 2001. But
what I also appreciated was the end game here. You know, you're expecting that they're going to get to the ship, they're going to blow them up. People might die, but they're going to, you know, they're going to fulfill their mission. And then they give you the little twist there where, oh, it can't be blown up. Let's just steal the motherfucker. And I thought that was a pretty cool decision to make.
Because
they could have went they could have won the traditional way and do what everybody's always done, but no, they threw a little wrinkle in there, and I think it added to the enjoyment of the film.
And I did like that. No one was really more superior than any other members of the crew because they were all certifiable badasses, but they were just as capable as the other. So there was it's kind of like, I compare it to Conan the Barbarian, where Conan and Simitai are basically on the same skill level. There's no sidekick vibe going on. They're all equals. And I like that, especially when they just look at each other while the other one's doing their job, and they're just like, they're just laughing at each other. And I love that because they don't take each other, well, they protect each other, but it's not taken too seriously, is what I'm saying. And, One of the scenes that I absolutely loved with, speaking of Alan Ritchton, when he was on the boat and he's people take hits in this movie. They're not superheroes. Like, especially him. He does take hits, but he kills somebody with a knife and he looks to his left. He drops his knife and he grabs the axe like, hello. Yeah. And then just murders people. I mean, a whole boat full of people with it. I was like, Jesus. Alan Ritchton's on his way to being a fucking action hero. I hope he does, because I loved him in Blue Mountain State, and he's getting recognition now for this and Reacher, and I hope he does well.
Well, you mentioned that people took hits, and they did, but at no point in time throughout the entirety of this film did I ever feel the threat of anybody dying in this movie. I mean, they were just mowing Nazis down.
I did
with impunity and at a leisurely pace.
At one point, and that was when they're stealing the boat. They get it moving, and the Nazis get out of the barn, and there's like 200 of them, and they're all firing at the ship, and I'm like, somebody might get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, nobody does.
The one guy did. I can't remember his name.
He got hit in the shoulder.
The driver.
Yeah. He got hit in the shoulder, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Well, like I said, I don't know any polite way to tell you this, but you've got a massive hole in your shoulder.
Although I did think it was a little bit too, cliche how our German SS officer, whose name I forgot, so I'm just going to call him Hans.
Lore.
Sure. How Hans basically figures out that the chick is not who she says she is. Because it's the same thing that they just, it's basically the same way they figured out in Inglourious Basterds. It's like, that was Yiddish. That wasn't German. I'm like, she's singing a song. Who gives a shit?
Right. Right.
That's what, it could have been in fucking Spanish. She's singing a song. Who fucking cares?
I do like...
I think...
No, go ahead, Seth.
I do like how how the script handles getting the ship to the island. How we do get to focus on Mr. Heron and Margie.
Marjorie. Yeah.
You know, get to see what they had to do to even make it possible for them to come and get there safely without being detected. And that was a welcome little side mission. It added a lot to the intrigue of the story. I mean, it's not a deep story, but you wanted to see what happened next, and that's all it takes for me in a movie like this.
Yeah, because
like I said earlier, the majority of the movie is spent on those two, not necessarily Henry Cavill and his people. But I mean, when we get Henry Cavill and them like fight scenes, it lasts like, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. But the majority of the story is spent with Marjorie and Mr. Heron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm on the same page as you guys. Like I do like that. You know, it shows us the espionage of how this mission was able to be so successful, because
the subterfuge.
The subterfuge. I'm like you. That's part of how this was able to be pulled off, because Operation Postmaster, this did happen. This is a true story. There are liberties taken, like I said, but this happened, and I even loved, because I didn't get excited or cheer or anything, but when they introduced during the Cary Elwes scene, they're like, "Who's that?" I was like, "Fleming, Ian Fleming." I'm like, "That's the author of James Bond." Yeah. Oh, what are you doing here?
And they even said at the end of this movie that the main character is who James Bond is
believed to be
based off of. Yeah. One thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and I thought was actually did a pretty damn good job in this film, is I don't know the guy's name who played him, but Winston Churchill was pretty good in this movie. That was a pretty good Winston Churchill.
Yeah, and that's another thing that the tension for me was never, you know, are these characters going to live? It's more about what is at stake here if they fail. Because what is at stake here is if they fail, basically Germany was going to win. And they were saying that Spain was on the cusp of joining the Axis, and America was not going to join in because the U-boats were basically ruling the Atlantics. And the whole mission was to disrupt the supply lines to the submarines so they couldn't get air in them. They wouldn't have supplies or any of that. And then because they did, they were able to do so. The fleet was disrupted. America was able to safely make it to the Atlantic and join the war, and we kicked their ass. So this one mission is literally one of the turning points in world history.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking comedy.
And the fact that this had to be done in secret behind everyone's back and be unsanctioned boggles my mind.
Yeah, because they even said, like, if you're caught by us, we'll arrest you and throw you in jail. If you're caught by them, torture and death.
Well, it's because the vast majority of the Brit superiors wanted to surrender. Mm-hmm. Churchill was the only one, the only person in power that was like, no, fuck that. I know what happens if we do that. Fuck that. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I
give this gets a solid B plus.
I'm going to give it an A-. I had way too much fun with it.
Yeah. Fair. A- for me too. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself. I will see this again.
I will most likely, when it comes out, I'll probably buy it on like Blu-ray or something, because it's one of those movies that I just want to watch again.
Yeah, if I'm sitting around the house and I ain't got nothing to do and I see it on one of the streaming platforms, I'll watch it. I don't necessarily think I'll go buy it, but I wouldn't mind watching it again.
All right. Seth, what do you got for us next week?
Oh, next week. I think we're going to do it while it's still on Netflix. We're going to watch Old Boy, the original. It's still there. I want to cover it before it leaves.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. We tried to do this several months ago, but it was not available on any fucking platform.
No, you couldn't even buy it.
No, you couldn't.
No, you couldn't even buy it. Exactly. Yeah. So now this is our chance. I'm cool with that.
As long as we don't have to do an old versus new, I refuse to watch the new
one. No, I'm not watching the new one.
No,
God, fuck that shit.
Right.
And I also
pick for the week after that. Go ahead.
I also want to suggest that we cover X-Men 97.
I'm down.
Sure. I've heard nothing but good things.
I will not be able to do that this week because I will be at a 4-day music festival, and when I get back, I ain't gonna have time to have watched it.
No, that's fine. I just think we need to cover it because I think it's over.
I think there were only like 10 episodes, weren't there?
Yeah. And I've watched everything but the final episode, and so far it's been fucking fire. There's one filler episode, and that's it. Everything else is just wonderful, in my opinion. So
I'm here for it. All right. My pick after that, we're going to, we're going to take a little trip to a town that, Seth Rebel established a few months back. So pack up the station wagon, load up the kids, board up the dogs, get your snacks. We're taking a little road trip to Schlockville, USA, population us.
Yep.
For the 2011 Rutger Hauer feature, Hobo with a Shotgun.
Okay.
I've never heard of that.
Me either. I like the name, though.
I mean, sure. And for my pick, we're going to load up the kids, board the dog, hop in our time machines, and travel back to the land of black and white films.
Okay.
We're gonna watch a little movie starring Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. It is called The Black Cat.
Okay. Oh, I've never seen that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Right. It's one of my favorites. Right. It's one of my favorite films of the black and white era. It is
23?
Somewhere along those lines. It is considered to be horror, but it's more of a psychological thriller if we're classifying it as such. But it's one of my favorite black and white films.
Seen it once, and it's been a very, very long time ago, so I'm definitely interested in re-examining that for sure.
Right on. Well, it has been real.
It's been fun.
It's been real fun.